Welcome to our first official episode. We have a really exciting episode in store. We have a great topic to talk about today. We are going to be talking about getting dogs in college. And also attached to that is like getting a dog, you know, when you're just out of college and working full time. And what does that look like? What did it look like for us? It was a mess. It was very unhinged, to be perfectly honest. We'll give you a little bit of kind of backstory about how things went for us. And, you know, any advice we can offer anyone that's considering getting a dog in college or who works full time in an office. Because we've definitely done things right and wrong, a lot of things wrong. But, you know, we hope we can kind of share some experiences and, you know, maybe it applies to you. Maybe you're like, I went through that same thing.
Yeah, it was pure chaos.
And I don't think there was a day where we weren't stressed out.
No.
For months.
That's life with Blue Blue.
Great. A little life update before we kick it off into the topic. We are actually currently home searching.
Ooh.
Finally. It has been a long journey of six, seven years in apartment living. And I don't think we can do it anymore.
No, we definitely can't. Not with these guys. We want to get them land. We want to get them a backyard that they can run around in.
They deserve it.
I can't wait to see Blue finally run around in his own backyard.
But not only that, our apartment, and this is, I don't know about like if this is just kind of the way luxury apartments are headed, but our apartment, I can't stand, like, I don't like calling it communal living, but like I've never been in an environment where so many grown adults are incapable of being like decent human beings.
It's incredible. And it honestly fits perfect with this topic because it literally feels like we're living in a dorm room.
No, it does. Like outside of sharing bathrooms, mm-hmm. I like, people will let their dogs like take poops in the hallway and they won't clean it up.
No.
There's dog piss in the hallway. We're in a luxury building, by the way. We're talking like rent in some of these places can go up to like $6,000-$7,000 a month. Like we're not in, you know, I would say by any means like cheap living. Yeah. We're in a nice building. Thankfully, we don't pay that rent, but there are people that pay that. But I just cannot believe the level of just, it's gross. It's gross. And to be quite honest with you, our neighbors are terrible.
So loud. Every night.
Every night we hear them because we share a bedroom wall. Every single night and actually every morning as well. This morning in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really bad. They're or we hear them fighting. It's one of the two. And I just like, I cannot, we can't do it. And it's just, we're at a point in our lives where we are, you know, going to be planning, you know, to have a family soon. And we have, you know, three active dogs. And we do have a whole episode that we'll talk about apartment living. So we'll kind of get into how we manage three dogs in a apartment style living. And it is possible, like not to say that it's not possible. I just think we've kind of hit our limit for multiple reasons, not just the dogs.
But just having our own space and not, like you said, not sharing walls, not being interrupted by anyone else, kind of just on our own.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's been a long time coming, but we are very excited to be home searching. So hopefully we'll have an update for everybody soon on the home search. I know we just shared with everybody that we just moved, but why we moved is we downsized a little bit so we could expedite the home process. And that way, next time we get into a house, it's a little bit more permanent. And, you know, we don't feel like we're dragging these guys around with us everywhere. Cause I think Blue has been through like eight moves at
Blue
this point.
Blue has moved so many times.
He's an expert. He's truly an expert. And actually what's interesting is for how anxious of a dog he is, he might get the least stressed out during moves.
Yeah, I don't know if he's just used to it now or what it is, but just going to a new place isn't stressful for him.
No, which I'm very thankful for because there's, you know, Titan gets very stressed. Maverick, he's moved twice now.
He's moved twice. He's still young. So
yeah, he's still
a
baby. Who knows? We're excited. We'll keep everybody updated. So we'll keep everybody updated on the home front, but we're excited. We're hoping to be moved into at least a rental home in the next like 30 to 60 days, which will be really exciting. And we'll be there for probably a couple years before we buy. We just want to kind of explore the area and kind of figure out where we really want to be in that area. Yep. So, but we're very excited. The house we're looking at right now has a big backyard, a nice covered lanai, so we can get, you know, have some outdoor living life, mm-hmm. and really just, and it's a big house too. So we'll have lots of space for, you know,
each dog will get their own room.
I vote a dog room, period.
I'd make a dog room.
Like 100% I will make a dog room.
Would you do like pictures of them like pooping?
No, that's for the bathroom.
That's for the bathroom. Okay, sorry.
That's, for, the that's trend. For their own That's bathroom. The trend, the bathroom trend. But they will give them their own room. But we have a super exciting topic to cover today. So we can kind of dive right in. I think we'll start with how we got Blue in the first place.
Oh, you can take that one.
I will take that one because that was my responsibility. Let me just set the scene for you. I was 1 week into my full-time job out of college. Like, we're talking making like pennies. Like, I was making nothing. And Vermont has 8% income tax, meaning you take home nothing anyway. So I was already making like no money. Corey didn't even have a job. So we're sitting mm-hmm. there, we're going off my salary. And
I wasn't just slumming it at home.
No, you were in school.
I was still in school. I was a junior. I was still in seasons. I played hockey at University of Vermont. So I was still in school. Like Emma said, she was 1 week into her job.
We had talked about getting a dog. Like, we had the discussion, but I don't think it was very much like, it wasn't really a true like sit down conversation. It was very much like in passing, like, I want a dog. And we both wanted a husky. That was really smart. As our first dog. And I saw this picture of Blue, and I don't know what it is, and I'm sure many dog owners can say this, but like, when you see your dog, or when, like, if you're rescuing your dog and you go and meet your dog, or you're, you know, on Pet Finder, or you go to a breeder, like, when you see your dog, you know that's your dog. Mm-hmm. There's just something about the dog that stands out to you. And here is this picture, and I'll have to find it and share it with everybody, but it was just this little gray, it almost looked like a wolf pup.
Yeah.
With these icing, like ice blue eyes. Why did I say icing? I don't know. Ice, it's too early. I need more coffee. Ice blue eyes mm-hmm. that were just like piercing. And it was, I just looked at it and I was like, this is our dog. And the second I came home, I didn't even say hi to Corey in the kitchen.
You didn't. I was sitting there, I was making dinner, and she came home from work, and I was like looking over the counter, and she just shoved the phone in my face. She goes,
you know, when people are like, look at this picture of my dog. Like, I did the same thing. I think you agreed. I can't speak for you, but I would say like you were on board.
Yeah. We talked about it a lot of times, how we ended up on a husky. I don't know. I love the look of them. So I grew up with cats my whole life. So I never owned a dog.
Maybe that's how you ended up with a husky. You owned cats. They're basically cat.
I mean, look at Titan. He's a big cat.
I've always wanted a husky, so maybe I just kind of forced my like wants and beliefs on you, which is very possible.
No, I think huskies were always my favorite dog. Like, just the look of them, I knew absolutely nothing about their personality
So that's where we need to pause and say, if you're gonna get a dog breed, we recommend doing and. This is like pretty much common sense. So like, I understand that like our common sense may have gone completely out the window here. And I'm absolutely not the first one to say like, we probably should have thought about it a little bit more, maybe researched a little bit more. But I think we were like, oh, we got this. Like, it's fine. I had owned dogs my whole life. So I think in my mind, I was like, oh, I'm an expert. Wrong. Incorrect. Very wrong. Let's just back up and let everybody know. We had no way of getting this dog.
We didn't have a car.
No, we did.
Oh, we had my brother's Pontiac G6.
Let me let you know.
Turbo.
So this car's wheel bearings were completely, I don't know what the term is, off, broken. I'm not sure. But when you drove it, it sounded like a jet engine mm-hmm. starting. It was so bad.
There was no heat. So in the Vermont winter.
I don't know how we did it.
The glass would fog up, so you were using a rag to try and clean it off. If your windshield was frozen, you weren't going anywhere.
Like, when I'd have to go to work, I'd have to save an extra 30 minutes to like let the car kind mm-hmm. of defrost. I think the heat would kick on every like so often.
Yeah.
But it was like so sporadic.
Very rare.
And it was not, you never guessed when it was going to come on. It was, and then, yeah, like Corey said, we had a rag in the front of the car and it was like up by the windshield. And like, I would have to drive to work. Thank God my drive to work was like 5 minutes, but I'd be like wiping and driving. Like, it was so dangerous.
Yeah. Thankfully, we didn't take that thing anywhere. You literally drove it to work and that was about it.
But it was so funny because we were like, and Blue is from like literally the boonies in Ohio. Like, Amish country. I don't know if it's Amish country, but it is like middle of nowhere, no cell service, like really just like absolute just middle of nowhere in Ohio. It was kind of scary. We were like, are we gonna get scammed?
We had no idea what to think. We were like, all right, we're all in on this dog, but like, how do we get him? We were like, oh, do we borrow a friend's car and make the drive to pick him up? Do we look at other services? Like, what do we do?
I found him on the American Kennel Club website. That's why I felt a little bit better about it, because I think the breeder was like verified through the AKC. Yeah. We still didn't know. Like, you're buying a dog from somebody online. You don't know who they are. You've never met them in person. I thankfully talked to the breeder on the phone a couple of times. She was a very young woman. I actually really don't know much about like her or her family. She was sending like video updates. So at a certain point I was like, we're all in on this dog, so we got to just kind of send it. Driving was out of the picture because we couldn't convince any of our friends to make that trip to middle of nowhere, Ohio. So we decided that we were going to hire a transport company, like a pet transport company, which, I mean, it is a good option for people that don't have the accessibility to, get their pet. I will say, do your research on pet transport companies. That was one of the biggest lessons I think I learned, because I think that the first trip for Blue in the transport, like in the transport coming to us, is the reason he has car anxiety.
I do too. And we thought, yeah, they're just going to drive from Ohio straight to us. It's a quick 5 hours. We'll have them in the morning. Where did they go? They went all the way down Pennsylvania to New York, kind of down Rhode Island,
Mass. It took them like 4 days.
It was long.
It took them a really long time to get to us.
And with him just kind of sitting in the back of the car.
He was in like a kennel in like a van. Like, it was, I can't even remember how it was organized, but I will say definitely do your research, because I think that there's very reputable transport companies out there. And I think that there's, I won't say sketchy because we went through like a reputable company, but I think like just know the situation your dog's gonna be in prior to them being in that situation. He didn't seem traumatized when he came to us. He already had like energy. He warmed up super fast. So I don't think anything really negative came from it. I do think that his confinement anxiety and car anxiety, because for puppies, it usually stems from their first experience doing something. So that's my guess of like why he had some confinement anxiety.
And we got updated pictures and stuff, and he looked happy. He looked fine. But I think the car ride just being so long.
Yeah.
And him not obviously being taken away from his family and his mom for the first time.
Oh, Blue.
Yes, you. You like to cry in the car.
Yeah, he's a crier in the car. He just whines. Do you remember what happened after we got Blue? When I called my mom?
No.
You weren't with me.
No, I wasn't.
So I didn't tell my mom that we were getting a dog.
I remember that.
Because I knew I would get a lecture, which probably was rightfully deserved at that point. I would have gotten a lecture. I would have probably gotten yelled at and said, hey, you just started your first full-time job out of college. You're in office 5 days a week.
You have no
Corey's
money.
In classes and in season, and he's gone on weekends most of the time for games. What are you doing? And so I knew how to avoid that was just not tell her about the dog. I called her. I FaceTimed her with Blue in the back seat. She was at her physical therapy appointment, and she told me she fell off the table. Like, physically, like, she'll tell if she ever tells this story for any reason. It sounds dramatic, but like, I, knowing my mom, that's exactly how it happened.
Yes.
Like, she definitely like went like full on dramatics and just like fell off the table. It took her, I thought she was gonna like drive up to Vermont and like disown me, because she was, I mean, again, I'm an adult and I can do what I want. I can make decisions. However, I think a mom's job is to protect you. And I think, you know, her instincts were like anger. I'm not sure why. I mean, I'm not her, so I'd have to probably ask. I think she was just in shock, to be totally honest. I think she like really just didn't know what to do with the information. I think it took her a good like week and a half for her to even like call me and be like, oh, how's Blue? How did your parents react?
My parents, the same way they react to everything. They're like, oh, awesome, cool. It's usually like a one word, or they'll be like, well, you're still an idiot.
You're still an idiot is a classic.
But they know, they're like, you're gonna make your own choices, and with those choices you're gonna live with.
Corey's parents have a very different parenting style than like my mom. And I think that that's always interesting, especially when you're in a relationship with somebody who's, you know, where the parents have different parenting styles. Yeah. And it's interesting because Corey and I definitely like talk about it all the time. Like, you know, how your parents would handle something, or, you know, how your parents handled the dog situation. Like, I even said to my mom, I was like, why can't you just, I literally go, why can't you be like Corey's parents? I was like, why can't you just like, there's nothing you can do about it. Like, this doesn't also, like, here's the thing with parents. I don't think they understand this. And I probably won't understand this until I'm a parent. So, like, I'm probably a bit ignorant from, like, the other side of things. But as a child, I'm just like, it doesn't affect you on the day to day. Like, this does not affect your personal life. How, like, how, why are you going to make it so much of an issue when it's, when this doesn't affect you?
I wonder if it has something to do with you being an only child. Like, I have an older brother and a younger sister, so
they're tired.
I think all of my parents' efforts go towards those two.
You got the middle child.
I was the middle child.
You got the middle child. Like,
right in, right in the sweet spot. You get, you don't get what the older one has. The younger one gets everything. You're just kind of right. You're just right in there.
But you're not the favorite.
I'm not the favorite.
I'm the favorite.
You are the favorite. I was going to say my sister's the favorite, but I think
of the three of you, yes, your sister's absolutely the favorite.
Yes. And then Emma came into the world and I got bumped down.
Yeah,
more.
I took his spot. I think Courtney's still number one.
I think I just got removed.
You're just off the list permanently.
I mean, in everyone's phone books, yes.
I think
they just updated it. Don't contact Corey, contact Emma, because Corey doesn't answer his phone.
We talked about this last time, and it's because you lose your phone all the time and don't respond to people. But anyway, I think that was like a big piece of it is like, I think I also just got stressed because, again, like, even though it's annoying that like you're not getting your parents' either approval, or like my mom wasn't like thrilled with everything, you still seek your parents' approval. Like, no matter what in my life, even if I'm like, you know what, screw it, like, it's my decision, I do what I want, I'm still seeking her approval, because that's what, it's just like the nature of, you know, a child is to like please their parents.
Yeah. And you're always going to ask, even if you know what the outcome's going to be or what kind of advice they're going to give, like, just from previous conversations, it's like, you still want to ask just to have their input on things.
Right. Even though, like, every time I ask my mom something, I 150% of the time know exactly what she's going to say. And I know I'm probably not going to like the answer, but I ask her anyway.
Yeah.
And then it pisses me off because I'm like, ah, you know, damn, like, that's exactly what I knew she was going to say. But I think that was definitely a big learning curve for us too. So backing up to like when we got Blue, I will say the first day was so wonderful. Like, the first day, after the first day, it all went downhill.
But seeing him for the first time,
oh my God, everything was amazing. And then it all went, honestly, a little downhill.
I'll never forget the first time we saw him.
I cried.
The car pulled up and they brought him out. He was just this little nugget with these bright blue eyes.
He was this like little chicken nugget.
He was
so cute. I think he was like 7 pounds, maybe less than that. He was really small, and he was just, we let him loose in our apartment, and he was just like so energetic. He was running, he had zoomies. He like, he warmed up to the apartment. That was one thing about Blue, he adjusts very quickly. Which I can't say the same for every dog, but he adjusts very, very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, this, as soon as we brought him in the apartment, it took him like 2 seconds to kind of, oh, where am I? And then it was typical Blue just flying off the walls.
His energy since day one, I don't think has stopped. He's going to be 6 in November and he acts like a puppy. I think the only difference is now he doesn't like to go out past 10 o'clock.
He is an old man. There's been the past couple nights we've taken him out like 8, and then we're like, okay, we'll take him out one more time. We're got to take the puppy out right before we go to bed. And he just sits on the couch. We're like, all right, Blue, come. We're holding his leash there, and he just, no interest.
No, he'll lay there.
Not want to move.
He'll lay there and we'll say his favorite word, and he will just dangle his head off the couch, and he's just not interested. So we just let him sleep. That's the only thing I'll say has changed with age, I think, is he's gotten not tired, but he's definitely like,
a bit pickier about when
he wants to go out. But now we can talk about how everything went downhill.
Oh, day one.
So here's just a little bit of background. And yes, we're aware this is very stupid, so we get it. But I was in the office 5 days a week. Corey was still in season and in classes. Mm-hmm. He did have breaks during the day. Yeah. So like, it wasn't like he was home, out of the house 8 hours a day. I was out of the house 8 hours a day. Oh, hold on. We need to talk about Blue's first night home.
Oh, the nightmare night.
I had two of my best friends visiting from Massachusetts. This is insane. I cannot believe we forgot about this. Blue's first night home. We tried to, you know, we had never had like a dog before, let alone a dog that like needed to be crate trained. Crate training in an apartment is like probably one of the most difficult things you'll ever do, just simply because there's neighbors and you have to be mindful of neighbors and everything like that. And we had my two best friends visiting, and they were sleeping out in the living room and we were in the bedroom. We had Blue's crate in the bedroom and we tried crating him, and typical puppy in a crate, husky in a crate, does not want to be there, crying, screaming, like just losing it for like 2 hours plus. And then all of a sudden at 2 o'clock in the morning, the fire alarm goes off.
He finally settled down, and then all of a sudden the fire alarm went off.
The second he settled down, I think that ruined the crate for him. But the fire alarm went off and we had to take him out of the crate and we had to go outside, and we thought this was going to be like a quick, like, oh, somebody, you know, burnt popcorn in the microwave or put a muffin in there.
Put a muffin in the microwave, Emma.
That's another story. That's a story for another day. I have had the fire department called on me twice for putting a bagel and a muffin in the microwave too long. So that's really its own story.
You're not allowed to use the microwave.
No, I'm banned from the microwave. Yeah. I haven't learned my lesson clearly, but we had to go outside.
Meanwhile, it's the middle of winter in Vermont. It's cold.
Do you remember they were wearing shorts?
They were wearing their pajamas. They walked outside like, oh yeah, it's going to be 5 seconds. This happens all the time.
Like, they were wearing shorts and like wrapped in blankets. Thankfully they brought blankets, but it was so cold. And we were like, okay, we'll be out here. And then thankfully one of my friend had her car like right outside the apartment. So we like went and sat in her car with the heat on, and we were like, oh, we'll be there for a little bit. Then the fire department came. We were like, oh, like, let's get out. Let's see what's going on. Then we ended up going, like, there was underneath our apartment was like a barcade. So, and they were just closing up for the night and they were just finishing up, and they like, actually, it was really nice. They let everybody come in and they let everybody like hang out in there for a bit. And we were in there till what? You had a game the next day.
I had a game the next day, but we were in there
till 5 o'clock in the morning.
Till 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah,
with Blue, just this little puppy, first night home.
And it turns out that somebody was, you know, was cooking illicit substances in the apartment, and like, if anything had gone wrong, like the apartment would have like caught on fire, like blown up.
Yes.
So we got very lucky that the fire department was called and that person was removed from the building. But it was a crazy first night for Blue, and everything from there on was just as chaotic.
I think that set the tone for the rest of his life.
Yep, I do too. I really do too. He, like I was saying, like, I was in the office 5 days a week. Corey was in classes and in season. And it was, I mean, we really did not know what we were getting ourselves into. Like, we really didn't, because of the crate issue. And this is where it comes down to, we are solemn believers in crate training. Every dog we've had, Blue, Titan, Maverick, all crate trained. But being in an apartment, like I said, was really difficult to crate train because you have neighbors and you have to be respectful, and you don't want your dog, you know, screaming the whole day and pissing off your neighbors. And Blue would never settle down in his crate.
Do you remember the first time we tried to go out to dinner and leave Blue in his crate for the, like, alone for the first time? So we had left. We were going to go to dinner that night. And we're like, okay, I think Blue, we can try and leave him in the crate. We'll see how he does. We won't be gone too long. We'll be gone like an hour. So we had actually put a note on the door that said, we are trying to crate train our puppy. If there's any problems, call this number. I think the second we walked into that restaurant, I got a phone call.
Yeah. It was like within the first like 5 minutes of leaving the house.
And it's not like we went very far. We literally walked downstairs.
Yeah.
And they were like, I think your dog misses you.
And we were like, I don't know what to do. So this might have been the stupid decision, but we were like, we can't crate this dog right now.
I mean,
so
you're in the office, I'm in class. Like, we can't just leave him in the crate to scream all day.
So what we did is we left him out. We left a 10-week-old puppy out for like, how often would you say you came back to check on him?
I mean, he was probably by himself, at least a few hours in between, depending on the day and kind of my schedule. But I mean, there was some days where he was 3 hours.
I think more, sometimes four or five.
Yeah.
It was a lot for a puppy. Interestingly enough, going to the bathroom on the carpet was the least of our problems. That dog managed to find everything. We are lucky that he was not a furniture chewer. We were very lucky about that. But he was obsessed with three things: underwear, socks, and the garbage.
None of mine.
All mine. The amount of what is so wild to me, and this is why I will stand by pet insurance for the rest of my life. Thankfully, we never had to use it. And thankfully, you know, he never actually like got into so much trouble. But there were times where we were like praying for poops at night because we were like, yeah, we know he got into something. Please don't have an obstruction. And we just did not. We just didn't know like what was going to come of it. We were not smart.
No. And thankfully he's got an iron stomach, and we say he can literally eat a license plate and be fine. But
no, he does. He has like such an insanely tolerant stomach. I think he like built up his stomach. But we also learned a trick from I don't know who taught us this. He had gotten once, do you remember the sausage?
Oh, incident? Our dinner?
The 2 pounds of sausage. Of
raw sausage we were waiting to cook.
Yeah, you want to tell everybody about that?
Yeah, so we were waiting to cook dinner, and we had the sausage. We had just gone shopping, so we were putting things away. The raw sausage was up there, and then we had opened it because we were just about to throw it in the pan, and we walked away for 2 seconds, come back, gone. Inhaled.
Like, as if he licked the cutting board clean. Like, it was like it never existed.
No.
And I was like, I looked at him, and I was like, this is a small puppy. I was like, there's no way. But I was so worried that he was going to get, like seriously sick because of it. I mean, that's a lot of raw like pork for a dog, for a puppy to have. And someone taught us this trick to use like hydrogen peroxide as like a like to induce vomiting. Let me tell you, that trick has saved our life so many times. Yeah. With Blue, because
it was our neighbor. Luckily, our neighbor actually trained police canine dogs. Mm-hmm. And was very knowledgeable. I think he helped a tremendous amount in training Blue and in the early stages of Blue's life.
Yeah. I mean, Blue was a tough cookie. He still is. But I mean, he, like, when we'd come home, the trash would be everywhere. We'd have to put the trash in the bathroom. And then we figured it out. And then eventually we said, you know, we can't do this. And we eventually said, actually, you know what? Do you remember this? There was one day where Blue just went in his crate on his own and took a nap.
Out of nowhere. Greatest day of my life.
Same. Do you remember that though?
Yeah.
We just used to leave the crate out. We'd throw we'd throw treats in there. We'd throw his food in there. We did everything we were supposed to do when it came to crate training.
Breakfast, his dinner.
Everything. We'd give him bones, and he would go in his crate to get it, and he would like lick it and then take it out of his crate. And eventually one day he just went in his crate and took a nap. We closed the door, let him nap in there for like 20 minutes. And then we opened the door, and we just like slowly kept doing that. And now he actually loves his crate more than he likes anything else.
He prefers it. Now he sees it as his safe space.
Yeah, which
like
is
the
goal.
When he kind of needs a break from everything that's going on, obviously we live in a chaotic household. Yeah. with all the animals, but he'll just go to his crate. He'll take a nap. That's like his kind of escape.
He still can be like a monster at times. And he learned to escape his crate. Do you remember that? He's the one who taught Titan how to escape his crate.
I think remember when he broke Titan out of his crate?
Oh my God. What happened? I honestly don't remember. I only remember Titan
escaping.
Is that
when we were still living at my parents' house?
Blue like learned how like we would latch only like one of the latches. We didn't really feel the need to like, I don't, again, dumb decisions. Like why? But we latched, I think, just like the top latch. And Blue learned that he could push out the metal and like squeeze out of the crate. So we would find him like out of the crate, but the door looked completely shut. It was so wild. And I just remember like coming home and being like, how did you get out of your crate? Titan, I don't know how, it must be a husky thing. Obviously like escape artist. Titan not only learned to push out the bottom of the crate, he learned to unlatch the metal crate, like the two like latches on it. He learned to undo them with his tongue, which is, first of all, if you think about it, insane.
Yeah. We've set up video cameras. Like when he started doing it for the first time, we were like, how is this dog keep escaping the crate? we used to put carabiners on it and he would still be getting out. So we set up cameras and you can just see him face up against, full teeth showing, and just licking at the latch until it pops off.
Insane. He's literally crazy. But I think given all these challenges, I think we definitely learned a lot of lessons when we were kind of going through all this. I mean, the first one was crate train. Just do it. Just do it during the day. Find your pockets to be able to crate train your puppy or, you know, your dog or whatever the case is. If you are going to be getting a dog in college or working full time. The other thing is, because we were both broke, we couldn't like afford dog care. But I would say that if you're ever planning on getting a dog in college or you are working full time, like spring for somebody to come walk them 2-3 times a day, take, you know, send them to daycare. I know some people are, you know, a little wary of daycare, which I understand. Take them, you know, get somebody to walk them a few times a day. I was lucky that Corey could come back a few times a day and walk him. But like, if that's not the case, or you're in class really the whole time, or you are working 5 days a week, it's really important to make sure that you have somebody who can consistently take the puppy out, only also because they need to go out that often. Yeah. We were pretty lucky that like actually Blue really didn't have a ton of accidents in the house.
No, he wasn't the kind of puppy that would wake up every hour of every night having to go to the bathroom. He was great in that sense, and like he would sleep through the night.
Yeah, we were very lucky, but he also was then spoiled as a puppy because like he was sleeping on our bed and, you know, he was doing all these things that I don't agree with the notion of like not letting your dog sleep on your bed. Like I will always make sure that my dogs sleep wherever they want. Like, come on. Like, I don't know. There's so many people that are like, don't let the dog sleep on the bed. Like you're letting them be the alpha. My dog is the most beta dog on earth. Like he is not. He is absolutely 100% not going to take that as like, I'm not a dog psychologist, but like, I don't think it's changed my dog. Like he just wants to be near us. They're pack animals. Like they want to be on your bed. They want to be with you. They want to be with their pack. Like the only reason why Maverick sleeps in his crate still is because he's still being crate trained. And that requires probably the first like year of their life sleeping in a crate through the night because, well, Maverick's biggest problem is he can't settle down.
Yeah, he has a hard time settling down. When he's out of his crate, he just wants to play, especially with Titan. So when he's out, we've tried. He's stayed out a couple nights in our bed and he's done great. But then there's always a time in the middle of the night where he's just up and he just wants to run around and play and waking us up.
No. He wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning and licks himself.
The worst sound in the world.
Like there's a few things that'll wake me up. Thunderstorm, absolutely not. Anything else, knock on the door, doorbell, nope, I'll sleep through it. If a dog is licking themselves or about to puke, I am fully awake.
The two most triggering sounds in the world.
Just the sound of a dog licking themselves, it just puts my, like, it sets me on edge so bad.
It's always the worst timing too. Like for me, I'm very sensitive to noise when I'm about to fall asleep.
You should tell our neighbors that.
Yeah, I should. couple more knocks on the wall.
I've banged on the wall so many different times, like so many times.
It's incredible. But Titan and Maverick. Blue doesn't do it as much. He's starting now to really like sleeping in the living room and on the couch and kind of have his whole space. Titan, on the other hand, takes up the entire bed.
Like we have a king bed and I sleep in a ball every night.
Luckily, he likes to sleep on your side.
Thanks.
Luckily for me, not for you.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that's lucky for you, not for me, because I don't feel lucky at all, actually.
But he'll start on the floor and it's all great and everything. You're falling asleep. But sometime in the middle of the night, you'll wake up and he is just sprawled over the entire bed. And you wake up and I don't know how you just kind of like conform around him, but you're always in a ball.
You're in a pretzel.
Around his body when you wake
up. I have so many back problems because of this dog right here, because of the way that he sleeps. And here's the thing. I'm a human being. I can tell him to get off and I can move him. He just looks so comfy. I don't want to. So like, yes, it's my issue and I can easily change it if I want to. But, you know, it's the price we pay.
As long as he's happy.
I guess what are, from like the college perspective, like what is something that I think you learned knowing that you were the one coming back regularly to, you know, during the day to take Blue out? Like what are things that you kind of learned throughout that process?
Definitely the difference between like the reality and like the dream of owning a dog. Like when we first, we were like, oh my God, we're going to have a dog. It's going to be our best friend. But like understanding the responsibility that comes with that. And like, yes, they do need to go out every hour or you're going to have constant care and like all the different facets that come with owning a dog. I grew up with cats. I had no idea. And people say they're like children. They need constant care and watching. They're going to get into things. They don't know anything. They need to learn.
I will be the first to say Titan has learned nothing. Yeah. I love this dog, but he has like the smooth brain sound, that trending audio, that is Titan. This dog just like, I don't know what, if anything, goes through his head.
I think it's just like white noise going through his head. I can just imagine, like, if I can put myself in Titan's brain.
It's TV static. It's just TV static in his brain.
It's just constant like waves. I feel like that's just like a constant loop in Titan's brain.
I think it's the music from Dudley Do Right, Rips Off Falls, just constantly playing.
Nightmare fuel.
In his brain. Like it just brain. Oh, you remember it. Just something to keep in mind too. And I think one thing we actually haven't touched on, and I know we mentioned pet insurance, which I'm very lucky we got for Blue, given, you know, he needed to be neutered and, you know, we did take him to the vet. And it also, I think one of the biggest things about pet insurance is it was the peace of mind for us that if he was ever like sick or he did ingest something, like I didn't worry about taking him to the vet as much because I knew that wasn't like a crazy amount of money out of pocket. And like one of the biggest things getting a dog in college, like you're all typically broke college students. We did not plan financially at all for Blue. No. That was another big mistake we made, was just planning financially. Like, what are the costs that are going to occur? Like you're going to incur with a dog? Food, treats, vet care. And like,
leashes,
yes,
collars, accessories,
leashes, collars, everything. And it's like, yes, you can get by on very little. But I think the most important thing to have is a safety net and making sure, like, if some, God forbid, something does happen with the dog or, you know, pet insurance doesn't cover it, like having that safety net is so important because there's a lot of, you know, pets out there that, you know, have had to be, you know, given up to shelters or rehomed because, you know, somebody can't afford care. And that's not always like the fault of the owner. But when you're a college student and you know you're broke, that is your choice.
Do you remember Blue's trip to the vet for his leg?
Maybe.
Oh, you'll remember in a second. So Blue, when he was a puppy, loved to just run around. As soon as it was time to get in bed, I think his zoomies just clicked. So there was one night and he would run up on the bed, jump off, run up, jump off.
The one thing puppies are not supposed to do, which is jump off things.
So Blue, I don't know if he just had too much speed, but he went flying off this bed. And when he hit, he had like a little yelp. Let's see if this starts to click in your mind.
I know what you're talking about.
You think you know where the story's going? So we were like, oh my God, he really hurt himself. He was limping around. He was doing all this stuff. So we took him to the vet and they took a look at him and everything. And he was limping around and they're like, I don't think anything's wrong with him. We're like, what do you mean? They're like, I think he just wants attention.
Yeah, it was confirmed by the vet. I do remember this story. It was confirmed by the vet that he was seeking attention. He literally faked an injury for attention, which is the most Blue thing to ever happen to this family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. I remember. I actually do remember that. And the second we got home, he was fine. So I think that's definitely, you know, a few of the biggest lessons we've learned is prepare financially, crate train, and find dog care. Like, even if it's a friend, like we were also very lucky. We had a lot of friends that loved Blue and would actually come and walk him and take care of him like for free because they loved him. And like, we got very lucky with that. But if they weren't around, like we did have to go through like Blue being alone for several hours a day, you know, as a puppy. And I mean, I don't know what else he got into. You know, we have no idea. All I know is he had swallowed, you know, underwear. He had, you know, gotten into the trash. Like, we're very lucky he didn't get into something that was like actually hurt him. There's a lot of lessons. And I think like when you're in college too, there's just a lot going on. You're also out partying at night. So like, you're not only not with your dog during the day, but there's a good chance you're probably not with your dog at night either. Although I will say drunk college kids and dogs are like the best combination ever. How many of your friends showed up drunk to our apartment trying to walk the dog in the middle of the night?
We would get back from the bar and we'd be laying in bed and all of a sudden there's a knock on the door.
We're like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Who is coming to our door? It was our friends. And he's like, hey, do you mind if I take Blue on a walk down College Street?
Tell me it wasn't to pick up girls.
It 100% was. They just wanted this puppy.
Wanted to borrow Blue to pick up girls.
It was hilarious.
And you let him.
We were like, yeah, just bring him back, open the door and bring him back. Just throw him in there.
You let them just take Blue to be, you know.
Yeah.
That to pick up women.
Alcohol speaking.
I think you did it sober a couple times. Remember when people were like, oh, can we take Blue to the beach? So they could like.
Yeah, people just wanted to borrow Blue.
Yeah, I think it was to pick up girls.
I mean, look at him.
I mean.
Little chick magnet.
You're a handsome boy, Blue.
There's nobody that loves puppies or dogs more than drunk people.
Drunk girls specifically.
Yeah.
I joked with Corey that I wouldn't let him out after midnight on weekends with the dog. It was a joke, but there were like several times when like he would get like swarmed by drunk girls and like half of them were like, are you single? And I'm like, and I was asleep at home and he would come back and tell me and I was like, yeah, I'm going to take him out after midnight from now on.
Do you remember how long it used to take us to walk to the park?
Yeah.
This park was maybe like.
Let me give you the idea. It was about a 2-minute walk.
It was like one block down. It was just this big open where Blue would go to the bathroom. But to get from our apartment to there, past all the people, took at least 20 minutes.
At least, at a minimum.
Everyone was like, oh my God, can I say hi to your puppy? And like, at first it's cute. You're like, oh my, yes, he's so cute. Like, please say hi. And then you get to a point and you'll realize
annoying.
It when it hits and it's like, yeah, okay, sure.
you get like super excited at first. And then by like the 10th or 11th time it happens to you, you're like, oh, this really needs to stop. Like, this is cute, but I need to take my dog to the bathroom and I need to go to work.
Yeah.
It becomes like, it just becomes just, you know, something you got to deal with. And honestly, like, I have to say, I do think that like some of our best memories of Blue, like were during that time. So I think that like, if someone was to be like, hey, I'm in college, like, should I get a dog? I would just probably ask them, like, do you have the ability to care for them regularly every couple hours? Do you have someone to watch them? You know, do you have your finances in order? And like, obviously, you're an adult. You can do whatever you want. And I know tons of people that got dogs in college and they were like completely fine. But I also know there's some people in college who got dogs and it was a real, real struggle. And it like really impacted their, you know, their lives. And I think that it's, you know, there's a lot of people I've talked to also that are still in the office regularly. And they're like, I just can't get a dog because I can't be home with them.
Yeah. A lot of people just don't have the time. And I think that's the key thing I would say is just know the responsibility of getting a dog and what comes with it. Like, do your research, something that we didn't do when we first got Blue. We were just saw this big picture like, oh my God, we're going to have this dog.
We were idiots.
To say in simple terms, yes.
We were idiots.
But like, yeah, do your research. Know, I mean, there's a ton of different types of dogs with different personalities. Like, do your research, what's going to fit well in your life and in your lifestyle and working and everything like that. So
yeah, and I would say like if you are working full time, it is possible to have a dog. You just have to be able to put in the work and the time to find someone to walk them every couple hours and put in that time. And if that's something that you don't, you know, want to do or don't have the means or the financial capabilities, then maybe, you know, a dog isn't the right thing for you right now. And that's not to say that like, you know, dogs, and it also depends on the breed. We also went for quite literally one of the most difficult, next to like below, I think Belgian Malinois probably takes this one, but they are one of the most difficult breeds to have just on the basis that like, not only are they like stubborn, but they're a breed that like the word extra, just like that's how I would describe them.
Yeah. And I would say Blue is probably the smartest dog I've ever met in terms of like tricks and learning new things. Like he's very quick learner, but he does it on his own terms.
Yeah. Like that's the thing with Huskies is like they're too smart for their own good where they'll use that against you. Like Titan escaping the apartment. We have to tell that story. The first time it ever happened.
Oh, yes. Do you want to tell
it? So this is how we're going to wrap up this segment is with a story about Titan and his escaping the apartment and the first time it ever happened. So we had just gotten back from the gym and we came upstairs and we got out of the elevator and there was a poop right outside the elevator. And we were like, what inconsiderate,
unresponsible,
stupid dog owner is, you know, letting their dogs, you know, poop sit by the elevator and like didn't pick it up. Like, that's annoying. And we went home and our door was like, it wasn't open, but it was like
cracked.
as if it was like just like the lock was undone and it was like slightly just cracked. And we're like, that's really odd. And both dogs were in the apartment, and we were like, okay, this is really strange. And this is actually at a time where we were still creating Blue and Titan. And we, like 2 days later, the next day, we were in the gym in the morning, and we had a Furbo at the time. And we got a person alert on our Furbo. And we were like, that's not supposed to happen.
No, we went into full panic mode. Like, why is someone in our apartment? Like, our dogs are in there.
So we opened the app. We were downstairs. Our gym in the building was just downstairs. So it wasn't like we were that far. We opened the app, and it's our neighbor returning Titan to the apartment.
Yeah. We open it, and all you can hear is, hello, I have your dog.
I was like, what is happening? So we went upstairs, and
we ran into him on the way up.
We did, but there was another poop by the elevator. Do you remember?
Yes.
So what we had figured out between all that, the Furbo, the neighbor, we figured out that Titan unlocked the crate, made his way, got out of the apartment because it has like the hotel kind of lock where like if you open it from the inside, it'll unlock the door. Mm-hmm. He opened the door, went to the elevator, which is like where he knew to go downstairs, which is insanely smart. Took a poop by the elevator because he couldn't get in the elevator. I was like, what if he got in the elevator? Couldn't get in the elevator. And then went back to the apartment. But because he couldn't get back into the apartment, he went to the neighbor's apartment and sat at their door until they came and like let him in and then brought him back.
Yeah, we ran into the neighbor. He was on his way to work when we were heading back up. And he was like, hey, yeah, I was just heading out for work. And I opened the door and Titan was just sitting there. So I brought him back in, but we went back and looked at the Furbo camera on like how he actually did it. And it's insane. He using his tongue to get out of his crate, he would undo the bottom one. And then somehow with such a big body, he was able to squeeze his way through the crate and the door, get out, and then jump up and open the door.
I will make a note that he has escaped every single apartment we've ever been in.
In every crate we've ever gotten him.
Yep. Except the furniture crate. Oh no. Oh no. He learned how to like actually pop the door off its hinges.
Yeah.
The only crate I think he never broke out of was either the impact crate or the dicks crate. Those are the only two crates he could not break out of. Yeah. Because the latches are not like just standard latches. They're like you have to like squeeze mm-hmm. to open them. And then I think the dicks crate was, or the impact crate was also like that.
Yeah. It was just harder for him to get to. Like the wire crates, he just sticks his tongue through.
Right.
And then obviously we had the big furniture crate that right. we had customly made for them. He learned that if he gave it just a little bit extra force and pop the door up, it comes off its hinges.
A little bit extra force. He like that was like Kool-Aid man style busting through the door, like just would pop that thing off its hinges and just like it was insane.
But if there's a way, Titan will find out how to get out of his crate.
This dog is determined. He is the laziest, most determined dog I've ever met, which is like the weirdest thing to say. But that is our little history on our dogs and our, you know, college life. And, you know, now we work from home. So now we like can't get away from these guys. Mm-hmm. So now it's the opposite problem that we had from before. But I am obviously, you know, we've learned so much from our time, you know, having Blue and, you know, even like when we got Titan, like we've learned so much just like getting a second dog. And we'll kind of get into that in another episode. But it's been a wild ride with Blue. And, you know, if any of you are thinking about getting a dog and, you know, you're in college or you're working full time and you know, you don't know how to do it or if, you know, it's the right situation for you, like feel free to DM us, reach out to us, you know, reach out to us in our comments section. Like we're always here to answer questions and offer, you know, as much advice as we can give given our history.
Yes, and we're obviously not experts, but we can talk from our experience, and we've been through a lot with these dogs. So if we can have anything that kind of resonates with you or something you can relate to, take it as you will.
Yeah,
just remember one thing, that dogs can't see in the dark.
I'm still saving that story for another day.
Okay. Stay tuned.
So to kick off our next segment, we are going to talk about our bucket list item of the week. Yes. This was so fun. This is something that kind of came out of a love of obviously our dogs, but just like we found that like we weren't as, you know, doing, you know, different things. We found we were kind of stuck in a routine. We kind of found that we were, what do we do with our weekends? You know, and it was, you know, we ended up doing the same activities and we wanted to try new things. And we wanted to make sure that like, because dogs don't live as long as people, which is, you know, an obvious fact, but like, we want to make sure that like they have the best life possible. So like our mission was to come up with 100 ideas that we could do with our dogs to give them the best life.
Yeah.
So Corey will talk about or at least kick off the first bucket list item.
The first bucket list item. And this is the first time we've had a chance to do this since we've had the dogs. I mean, I don't think they did this in Boston, did they?
I don't think Fenway's done one. They might, but they haven't. They didn't when we lived there.
Yeah, we didn't do it even if they did. But we had the opportunity to go to the Bark of the Park at the Miami Marlins Stadium, and that was so much fun.
It was so fun.
I Emma can kind of set up the stage and how they did it, but we had the opportunity to take Titan and Maverick to the Bark in the Park game to watch the Marlins play. Unfortunately, Blue did not have the opportunity to go, one, because we were only allowed to take one dog each, and two, as we kind of mentioned with Blue's anxiety and kind of having a hard time in big crowds with a lot of dogs, we thought it would just be a lot easier on him if he stayed home.
Yeah, so he stayed home. But we did bring him a souvenir, so he still got his
favorite toy ever.
He got his baseball. He destroyed that very quickly. But the way that it was set up, and this was really cool, I have to say it was extremely well organized. Yeah. I don't know how other Bark in the Parks are, but Lone Depot Park did an amazing job setting all this up. It was basically a separate section for Bark in the Park. Obviously, I'm sure there's people who go to games who don't want to be around dogs.
Yeah.
And there's people, that are allergic to dogs or, whatever the case. So they sectioned it off. When you go up the stairs, the first thing you saw was like turf, which was really nice. It was shaded. It was in a tent for the dogs to go to the bathroom. There was trash cans. There was, water bowls. There were like little kiddie pools for just to like
dip your feet in if it's a hot day.
We're
in Florida. It was a hot day.
I will say the nice thing about Lone Depot Park is the retractable roof, and it was closed that day and the AC was kicking. So it was very comfortable in there. They sectioned off the area with the dogs, which was so nice. And they had like different vendors there. I know like Tito's Vodka was there. I know that like Brutus's Bone Broth was there. They were giving out like little goodie bags and samples. And then they also had like local shelters come and bring dogs that were, up for adoption, which I thought was amazing.
Yeah.
I wanted to take them all.
You're not allowed. That was, she tried.
I did. I said that one day I'm going to have a farm of dogs, probably a farm of golden retrievers, but
not huskies.
I love these guys, but I can't again. I can't do it.
No. We've said that a lot. It's like, I don't think I could get another husky after Blue and Titan.
No, for many reasons.
I think I would just compare because they're so unique and have like their own personalities. I think I would just compare way too much
totally.
To another husky.
No, I completely agree. They're special boys.
We can't replace you.
No. But then the other part that was really fun about and actually really nice and organized about the Bark in the Park night was that when you bought your ticket, you also had to buy a seat for your dog. Yeah. So like people weren't like crammed on top of each other. It was very well sectioned off and organized, and you had plenty of space to sit with your dogs. Titan is massive and did not fit on the seat, but
no, and like the fact that like this 80-pound husky could fit comfortably in the seats and didn't feel like we were crammed next to people.
He fit below the seat. He didn't fit on the seat.
He tried to sit in the seat for a little bit, but he realized he was too big.
Yeah, and it was really fun. It was really fun. Remember the Simba cam?
Do not, whatever you do, miss the Simba cam. I think that was probably the highlight of my day. Was being able to hold Maverick up for the Simba cam. We did get on the Jumbotron twice.
Maverick got on the Jumbotron twice.
Maverick got on the Jumbotron twice. I was just kind of his prop.
Yep. But that was so cute. I loved that.
Do you remember what happened during the Simba cam?
No.
So during the Simba cam, we were so worried on holding Maverick up. When the Simba cam ended, we looked up and we were like, Titan was four rows down.
With his new family, apparently.
Hanging out with this family and their dog and just getting pets and love. And we were like, Titan, you need to come back here, buddy.
He like slipped out of our, I don't know, we should have been more responsible, but he like, thankfully, all the dogs were really friendly, but Titan slipped out and just like, I was like, oh, he's found his new family.
Yeah, he was just going around saying hi to everybody.
Yeah. I will say one thing too, like if you are going to take your dog to a Bark in the Park, make sure they are friendly with other dogs. Make sure they're friendly with people. Obviously, it's a very crowded space and it's really not meant for every dog. I think that it is nice that it caters to large and small dogs, but I'll say like it is very important to know your dog, know your dog's personality. It's why we didn't take Blue. Yeah. Make sure that like, you know your dog's personality, and if it's not going to mesh with a crowd, like there's other ways to get them involved, bring them home a souvenir, things like that. But I definitely like, you know, I would encourage you not to put your dog in a position that they're not going to be comfortable in, or you're going to be stressed out, you know, walking around with them. Because I know if Blue was with us, unless he's in his backpack, which is like our way of really getting him calm in those environments, we would have been stressed the whole time. And we, you know, we didn't want to do that to him. We didn't want to do it to us. And we didn't think it would have been right.
Yeah, definitely know your dog. Like, know that it is a baseball game. It's 9 innings. It's long. Like, I mean, luckily we didn't stay the whole game. No. We stayed for a majority of the game, but it is a lot of sitting. Like, so if your dog's not comfortable sitting for a long period of time, or like just wants to move, there is a lot of things to do to walk around.
Or just go for like a couple innings and go home. I mean, like it's, the tickets were like very reasonably priced. I think it was like, I can't remember, it was like $25 a person. Like, it really wasn't like expensive by any means. So definitely like go enjoy the time, you know, stay for as long as you want. I don't think there's any, like, other than the Simba cam, I feel like there was nothing else that I was like, I have to stay the whole game for.
No, but go experience it. Like, it is very, very fun to go. Like, Titan and Maverick met so many new dogs and people, and just getting out and watching some baseball with these guys. It is like a once in a lifetime experience, even though they do it twice a year. But for us, it was the first time we did it, so it was very special.
And we'll definitely be going back, for sure.
Yeah, and next year, maybe we'll find a way to get Blue there.
We'll get him in the backpack or something. Bring a third person.
And make it comfortable and suitable for him, so he can experience that too.
Yeah, right, buddy? But now we have our last segment, and we are going to ask the spare.
My favorite.
So we have two questions we're going to touch on this week. The first is a question directly actually for you.
Hit me.
So someone wants to know, how does it feel to have the entirety of the internet refer to you as the spare human? Like, that is how you are known.
Ooh, starting off with a heavy hitter. Well, it started out, we were just started using it. It was, I mean, obviously we're not the only creators that use the term, but we just started using it in our content, and it fits really well with Blue and Titan kind of being the spare of the household. So we started using it, but I don't think it really caught on until our community and our followers started using it and commenting it. And now I'm literally just known as the spare.
Yeah. You're the spare human.
Yeah. I think I've embraced it pretty well.
You've not only embraced it. Do you remember the other night you actually referred to yourself in third person as the spare human? You were like, the spare human does this. And I'm like, wait, are you talking about yourself? Because you were.
Yeah.
So you've definitely embraced it.
Yeah. And it's like a subconscious thing. Like, I didn't even know I said it. She's like, did you just call yourself the spare in third person? And I was like, I think I did. And kind of just like owning that persona, like obviously the online persona. I think the biggest shock was we went to lunch with a couple friends last week to watch some football, and her parents were going to join us, and she was like, oh, my mom's so excited to meet you guys. She follows your account. She's one of your biggest fans. She's like, she likes and comments on every video you have. So they showed up, and she said hi to Emma. She said hi to me, and then she just stopped, and she goes, wait, you're the spare. And I think I got thrown for a loop.
You did.
I didn't know what to. I think I froze, and I was like, am I excited, shocked, like what is going on? Like, it's one thing with like online and seeing it in the comments and everyone like you don't know calling you the spare, but when it's like real life and people like in person are calling you the spare, it was completely different for me.
It was really funny. I got such a kick out of it.
But at the same time, like just owning it and accepting that you're the spare, like that's how people resonate with you,
right? Like, you're playing into the audience, and it's like, we're the ones who consistently use that term, so it's like, it's not like you can really get offended by it.
Yeah.
But I do think it's funny that like that's how people refer to you, and it's like people don't even use your real name anymore, like they just call you the spare. And I think it's funny, but obviously, like, you know, it's being directed at you, so only you're the only one who can say how you feel.
Yeah, and if you guys don't know, my name is actually Corey, just not the spare. So thank you.
You can call him the spare, though.
You can call me the spare.
Your parents are going to start calling you the spare soon.
I know. I might have to like legally change my name.
Blue will probably do it for you. If you see Blue at the DMV later, don't mind.
He might
leave
just
him alone.
Erase my name completely.
You never existed. You
just don't exist.
But that's, I mean, it's funny because like I think that there's so much about like online that filters into like real life like this, where like people, an online persona or personality, like people just take that and like that's who you become. So I think it's really funny.
Yeah. And we'll talk about it in a different episode, but just kind of like separating from that and kind of...
Did you lose your train of thought?
I lost my train of thought. It happens so often.
Yeah, it does. Our last question is just from actually another creator who reached out and wanted us to talk about this, but just they were interested in getting their partner into their content and kind of working with their partner and, you know, incorporating their partner more into their content and wanted to know, you know, how do we balance, you know, our roles, our, you know, how we manage the content creation, like how we kind of handle everything, how we split things up, you know, how we kind of got to the point where we did. And I think we can give kind of a brief description, but I think I've always been in it, but I guess like maybe share your experience of like,
yeah,
how you kind of evolved over time.
Yeah. I want to hear how you kind of see it. But like from my point of view, being in accounting with the busy season, and obviously we'll get into this more in a different episode, but I had a really busy life, and Emma, obviously being in social media for the past 7 years, has so much experience like in the corporate world, like social media, TikTok, Instagram, all this. And I was very clueless of it. And kind of when it first started out, like I in college was very afraid of public speaking and like being in front of the camera, being in front of a lot of people. So I think I carried that with me when we were starting to get more involved in the content, putting ourselves more into the content. And I was just afraid of it. I was like, okay, I'll help out where I can. Like I'll film, I'll do the little things here and there.
Yeah. I think it's interesting too, because I think that like it's taken you like what, probably about 2 years to really feel like comfortable getting mm-hmm. in the content. And I think, you know, bringing your partner in for you, maybe that does mean having them in the content more, but maybe it means just involving them in the process. So like maybe having them help edit or help concept videos, like any help when it comes to content creation, because there's so many facets of it and so many elements of content creation, that help in any department is really nice. I think that like I get very burnt out creatively mm-hmm. when it comes to content, and I kind of just look at Corey and I'm like, I'm out of ideas. And I'm like, can you sit for like an hour and just like brainstorm just a bunch of stuff that we could do? And then we kind of like go off that and talk, you know, talk about ideas based on that. But like one person handling like all the creative, all the editing, all this, like can be very exhausting. And it is really nice to have, you know, have a second person who lives the experiences with you and can like give their own input.
Yeah. And I'd say take a look at and know your strengths and weaknesses. Like obviously Emma being in social media so much, like she's so good at all the concepting ideas, what's going well, the trends, everything that's going on. And just see where you can help out. I think that was the biggest thing for me when we first started, is where can I help out? Is it helping you edit this video? Or help come up with some ideas? Maybe it'll trigger something. Obviously you have the big brain and all the concept ideas, but just helping you out when you get burnt out. Cause it is a lot to do it on your own.
I will say, for anyone that doesn't know this, if you go back a year and a half to like any of our content where the dogs are like speaking and we put text, Corey has been like the mind behind all of that for the last year and a half. Whether he's on screen or you've seen him only recently, like he's been involved in the process for a long time, but in a different capacity. And then it just evolved over time where he felt more comfortable being in content. And now he like wants to be in the content. So I think it took a long time, but and who knows what, you know, 2 years from now is going to take us.
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing to know, like for anyone that's coming into social media, is just understanding it's not just picking up a camera and filming. There's so much going on in the back end, whether it's cutting up the clips, organizing everything, putting text on screen, uploading it, doing the captions. Like there's so much other editing that goes on behind the scenes that you don't see that you can be helpful in.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's just like, start slow, figure out what, you know, your partner wants to, you know, get in the process, and then just go from there. I think, you know, you don't have to dive headfirst into the whole thing. You know, they can kind of get comfortable with it, maybe understand your process at first, and then just, you know, just communicate with each other. I think that's like the biggest piece of it, is just communicate.
Yeah. And I would say for someone that's coming in, a significant other, when having the conversation, is just be open to it. Don't look at it like it's just another obligation that your significant other wants you to do.
Yeah.
Enjoy it, embrace it. I mean, I went from literally not wanting to be in front of the camera or like scared to do it to wearing a lamb costume on our podcast.
I would like to make the note, you still look ridiculous.
I know.
How bad are you sweating right now?
It is a sauna, I will say that.
That's
It's not good.
Can we throw it in the wash after?
You throw me in the wash after.
Probably gonna have to.
Tumble dry, please.
On low. I will say that, you know, there's so many different, you know, elements to content creation that there's definitely, you know, a place for everybody. So take that, you know, with what you will, but, you know, we are super excited. Thank you everyone for tuning in to our first official episode of Unleashed and Unhinged. If you have any questions that you want to be answered during Ask the Spare, feel free to DM us, comment on any of our posts, on any of our, like, we have a Instagram page for our podcast as well called Unleashed and Unhinged Pod. Feel free to drop comments there. You can also email us. We also have a form on our website with an email listed, and you can just submit the form with your question on goldenhuskyboys.com. You should see it under the Unleashed and Unhinged section. So feel free to just drop us questions, comments, and we're going to try to, we have a long season ahead of us, about 20 episodes. So there's a lot to cover. So we'll hopefully try to answer as many questions as possible. But
if you're joining us from our social media, thank you so much for all the love, support, and following along with us. If you are new here and just discovering us, welcome to the pack. It's a lot of chaos, a lot of crazy moments in the crazy life that we live with these dogs. So I hope you enjoy.
We definitely enjoy sharing it with you all. So we hope you enjoy listening to it and listening to our stories and, you know, everything else going on in our lives. And we hope we can offer some, let's call them, nuggets of wisdom. There's definitely nuggets in there somewhere. But thank you guys so much. And we're going to have Blue take us out. Not literally, buddy. I know you want to take him out, but like, things are about to get chaotic here. So we're going to sign off. But thank you all for tuning in. And we will see you next week.
Thanks for joining.